Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Good Friday evening, everybody, and welcome to the next to the last episode or podcast of the Big Brother 23 season, made possible by the Whispers groups, a.k.a. Jim Early, Missy AE. I'm Melissa, your host. We have Steve, the co-host, here.
Yep, and thank God we are close to being done with this season, because
I will say
it's probably headed towards a satisfying ending. But God, oh God, this, I mean, for those of you who did not tune in last night to the Survivor recap show, which, by the way, will be every Thursday night during this Survivor season, the 41st season of Survivor, hosted by Jim Early, of course. Without his help, none of these podcasts would be possible. But
amen.
You could really tell a very drastic difference between discussing Survivor last night and discussing Big Brother. Because with Big Brother, especially this season, everything has gotten so chaotic to where we almost have to tiptoe around whatever we want to talk about. With the fear of potentially insulting somebody or a group of people, you know, it's gotten ridiculous. And let me add on Laura here real quick. Welcome to the it's not Laura, it's Reggie. Welcome to the show, Reggie.
Hi, Reggie.
Reggie, of course, was on the show last night with us as well. And Reggie, you know, just exactly what I was bringing up as you were calling in here is the drastic difference between discussing Big Brother like we do every Friday night and discussing Survivor like we did last night. I almost think that the end of this season just can't come quick enough.
For Big Brother,
Just based off of all of the, you know, the fact that we've had to tiptoe around certain topics this season, you know,
Is anybody watching Boston Rob, by the way?
I am not.
He's on that show right after Big Brother, well, on Friday night at 8 o'clock. There's a show on that, it just came on, I guess. They remodeled their childhood homes or their friends' house or coaches. So he went back home to remodel his mom and daddy's house. Kind of a weird show.
Yes.
I have never seen it.
Celebrity renovation or something.
Yeah, and they're all real phony. The host is kind of, I don't know. I don't think I'd watch it ever, but he's on there.
I've got it muted.
Are you really? First of all, I don't mean to interrupt you, but last night I think people might have gotten the wrong impression when I called my kidlets juvenile delinquents. I've been in this over 35 years. I love each and every one of them, and I just wanted to put it out there that I don't mean anything disrespectful by saying that about my kidlets. So that's all.
I didn't think anything of it. I'm sure Melissa, you just said you didn't think anything of it. I don't think anybody.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think anybody that was on the call really thought.
Well, I hope not,
because
When Jim says, if I said that about my kids, and I thought about it all day long working, and I thought, I'm going to private message him, but then I got so busy I couldn't, and It was like, I hope they understand that I do it out of love. And, you know, I didn't mean anything by it because, like I said, I've been in it over 35 years. So, yeah.
And you were saying okay, that's back.
Huh?
Kidless or juvenile delinquents. I mean, right?
Right, but they don't have the background and the parenting that they should have received to mold them
yeah.
into young citizens, and that's the saddest part about it. You know, it's
yeah.
all parents, me, and of course our court systems have not allowed them, the parents, to be a parent at times. So it's just a sad situation. But anyway, let's go on about Big Brother.
Okay.
Yes, because this obviously, you know, you have to give kudos first off, once again, to the Cookout for what they were able to do this season. The fact that they were able to stick together. Granted, there's been a lot of controversy amongst Big Brother fans in regards to, you know, why they stuck together, but that's beside the point. However, last night, I think we may have had our real first bit of drama entire game. As we had Xavier and Kylan nearly come to fisticuffs last night.
Yeah,
I can't help it. I liked it because Kylan, he is irritating at times, but he was playing, he was expressing raw emotions. He was hurt. He was sad. He was blindsided. He thought he felt double-crossed by his best friend in the house. I mean, I just felt really bad for him.
Yeah, I kind of didn't. I have to disagree with you. And, you know, because that doesn't mean that that doesn't mean your opinion doesn't count. And quite honestly, I was shocked that he would have the audacity to throw Xavier's nephew up in his face.
Yeah, that crossed the
I
line.
That was wrong. I can see him being, oh, my God, maybe shedding some tears, being sad, being upset, but cases where people are like that, they would just walk out the door and not say anything or hug anybody or talk to anybody. But Kylan
yeah.
stopped and he didn't leave. And he got up in his face and talking about his nephew, and I thought it was wrong. I thought it was 100% wrong.
You know, I've read throughout Big Brother Whispers about how supposedly Xavier did the same thing, you know, using other people's family members in his conversations that he's had with them. But if I recall correctly, I don't think he ever brought up something like he ever did what Kylan did and basically brought up somebody's nephew or, you know, a younger family member. I mean, okay, mm-hmm. if you want to bring up a brother or something or a sister to make a point, fine. You know, those people probably have the mental capacity to speak for themselves on social media. Like Kylan's friends and family have already been on major damage control so far today, trying to clean up the mess that he made, not just last night, but also in his exit interview that he gave to the media today. But when you dare bring in a younger family member into the picture, I mean, I don't care if Xavier, you know, mentioned about doing this for his nephew, he can mention that all he wants because that's his motivation. But for Kylan to do what he did last night and try and guilt trip Xavier like he did, bringing up how he named He named his nephew Kobe after Kobe Bryant, and Kobe Bryant wouldn't do the shit that Xavier did.
But he was a fresh woman,
first
so
off.
That's okay.
Yeah, newsflash, first off, Kobe Bryant was a competitor. Xavier is a competitor. Xavier wants to win the game. He has a much harder time doing that against Kyland than against Big D and Azza. So
yes.
I don't care if Kyland saved Xavier with the veto last week. This is a whole new week, and checks are meant to be bounced inside the Big Brother house.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, yep. Okay. Kylan did save Xavier last week, but that doesn't mean that Xavier had to return the favor.
Exactly. But, yeah, when you think about, okay, so I was going down this path, and now I've kind of come to a fork. Where was I at? I think that they don't know that after watching the jury house feed, even Sarah Beth was turned off by Kyland. And I think that Xavier would have won against Kyland hands down. I don't think
he
would have had a problem beating Kyland. Yeah,
they don't know that.
Yeah, they don't know that. But I still think he would have beat Kyland in the end. But they don't know that, so it doesn't really matter. But that's what I'm saying is that I was shook that even Sarah Beth was turned off by Kylan.
Yeah, you know, I was, I kind of got the feeling, though, that maybe perhaps would this be a jury that would actually be bitter, or, you know, if Kylan had actually played the better game over Xavier in a potential final two, would the jury overlook all of the deceiving that Kylan did, which, I mean, let's keep in mind, deception is part of the game. You know, Kylan actually played this season, despite the numerous opinions that fans have had this season about Kylan and about certain Big Brother competitors this season. Kylan did compete, unlike certain players who are still in the game.
Well, going into the season, he was one of my favorites, Kylan was. But as he progressed through the season, he started losing me bit by bit, week by week, with some of the things that he would do and say. Actually, he got worse as the season progressed. He got a little bit more batshit crazy. Let's just put it to you that way.
Yep.
I love that. That was good.
He was losing his mind little by little, week by week, until it came to a head last night. Then reading some, looking at an interview he did today and reading an interview that he did today, the audacity, when he said Tiffany, by her own admission, was being selfish and she just wasn't of the caliber to represent the cookout, blah, 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 or this season of Big Brother. It's like, what? Okay, number one, he has a tendency, he talks circles to people. And he gets them to the point where they agree with him just to shut him up, right? Kind of gaslights them to the point where they're walking out of the room saying, okay, fine, I did it. What? You know, even though they didn't do it. Tiffany, I don't think, was that selfish, in my opinion. I know a lot of people think, he shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have. The thing is
there's a lot of people.
She Chase did
There's
not.
There's a lot of people that were selfish.
Xavier was really bad. Xavier was one of, I think he was more selfish than Tiff, to be honest.
Oh, I agree on that. Yeah, absolutely.
She, in my opinion, yeah, she decided that she wanted that HOH in her cat, and she decided that she wanted Claire to stay over Alyssa. But in the end, it backfired on her, and she ended up losing Claire anyway. But,
you know,
it didn't hurt the cookout, you know, at all. It did not hurt them at all.
It only hurt Tiffany.
In any kind of danger.
It only hurt Tiffany.
Right. It didn't put the cookout in any danger. So shut the hell up, you know?
And by the way, you know, that isn't even Kylan's worst thing. You know, apart from him saying, you know, Tiffany was an unworthy representative to be the first black winner, which, by the way, is complete bullshit. As a matter of fact, she may have been the most worthy, apart from Xavier, within that alliance. Also, apparently, this has been brought up on social media. Not only did he bring up Xavier's family at the eviction last night, he also took Derek Frazier's father's ring as collateral upon his exit.
Who did? Kylan?
Kylan, yeah.
I missed all that.
Well, all I can say is that he'll be getting that back, because if he doesn't, he's going to be in a world of hurt.
Well, Derek is expecting that he probably won't get it back. He wants it back, but he's expecting that he's not going to get it back after how they did Kylan.
Well, that's his ring.
On the other hand, you don't bring something that sentimental value
exactly
into the house, number one, and you certainly don't hand it off to somebody as collateral.
What
yeah
was the collateral
that's
for again?
That's kind of on Derek, huh?
What was the collateral for again? I'm trying to make my football picks while we're talking.
Basically, it was basically a ring. I think it was a school ring that his father had bought for him. I forget exactly what it was, but it was a ring that had either belonged to Smoke and Joe Frazier, or it was a ring that Smoke and Joe Frazier bought for Derek when he was younger.
Aww.
And he used it as collateral, you know, basically he tried to make Kylan feel completely safe that he could basically take the ring if he ends up getting voted out.
Then Derek needs to say, well, I gave it to him, so, and I told him to, he could keep it if he got voted out, and I knew I was voting him out, so that must not have been too sentimental to him.
Well, it was the last item that Joe Frazier gave to Derek before he passed away.
Oh, I would have never given it. No. Absolutely
never.
Not.
So,
never.
So, at that point, it's like you don't, like I said, you don't bring something of sentimental value into the house, number one. Number two, you certainly don't give it away as collateral and then expect to get it back. If he doesn't get it back, that's on him. He shouldn't have done it. He shouldn't have done it at all. And Kylan's just the type of little pansy that would say, I'm not doing it back. He told me I could keep it if I got money back. I can just imagine that Kylan will refuse to give it back. I can just see it now.
I hope
yeah
not.
And I got to tell you, last night, first off, it's probably one of the most memorable exits that we've gotten in quite some time, to the point of where we were only a Super Bowl baby comment away from it turning into
I missed that.
Into the second
I missed
version
that
of
comment.
How, well, no, he didn't say it, but we were it looked so similar to Howie's exit in Big Brother All Stars when he got into that argument with Boogie, or the confrontation with Boogie, and then right as he was exiting, he yelled out "Super Bowl baby, woo!" and as he was on his way to visit Julie Chen. And the way that that confrontation last night got so heated, I almost thought we were about to see another Howie moment, a recreation of Howie's exit from Big Brother 7. So
yeah,
but that may be one of the biggest confrontations I think we've seen since that exit in Big
yeah.
Brother history.
Yeah, I tell you, it's like I said, I didn't feel sorry for him at all, and because I was glad to see him go, I wanted him to go, I was glad to see him go, and then just the way he exited, it was just the icing on the cake with me.
I mean, let's face it.
Completely lost me.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Going back to my previous point about, you know, you can bounce checks inside the Big Brother house. If you're in Xavier's position here, and you have the option of either going up against one of the best competitors this season in a potential final three, or going up against two of the worst competitors this season in a potential final three. Don't you really want that $750,000 badly enough that you'll take an easy win, even if it may look weak to some people? I'm sorry, you know, if screw pride, you know, I'm taking the easy win, which is exactly what
yeah.
Xavier did.
Right.
Now, obviously,
yeah.
the jury could still be bitter, and you know, maybe we end up having a worst case scenario, and either Derek F or Azza ends up winning this season. But
I doubt it.
Honestly, I don't see what kind of argument I could see. Maybe the only argument I could see is Derek F against Xavier, and the reason being, and keep in mind, he's nowhere near the type of player that Will Kirby was, but Will Kirby kept himself in different conversations during Big Brother 2, and he was able to play his social game and not even, you know, have to win a competition. So there's always the chance that Derek F could somehow topple Xavier in a final two. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's always a chance. I would probably give Derek the better chance against Xavier than I would Azza.
Yeah, I'll be just kind of curious. The thing is, okay, listening to Big D, like he's already won the game, that he thinks he can easily beat anybody, you know, and he's taking credit. I know it's like, you know, I put it in whispers, but I can't remember it word for word, but something along the lines of, I created the cookout, I kept everybody together, I was in control of all the votes. Every week, I said who goes and who stays. I had all the women believing me. I was the Coin of Destiny winner. I blah, blah, blah. And it's like, excuse me, huh, what? Did I just hear you, Laura?
Yeah.
Yeah, Laura has officially joined.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
I thought I heard your giggle.
That's just ridiculous. I was the Coin of Destiny winner, huh?
Yep. And then you've got the people that's sitting in the jury that know damn well he didn't. Right?
Oh, my God. The guy's a delusional. He's delusional, and he has a taco chest.
Taco meat chest.
I cracked up laughing about a taco. I've never heard that, and I'm old, but that just cracked me up. So from now on, when I'm looking at some guy, I'm going to go, do you have a taco chest? But they kind of think I'm kind of, you know, my friends think I'm dingy anyway. So, you know, it's like I have never heard a taco chest.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Have you heard of a taco chest, y'all?
No, never.
No. No. Mm-mm. No, no such thing here in Canada.
I've heard of a beer belly, but not a taco chest.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Of course, over here, we call it the keg.
Yeah.
The keg. Really?
The beer keg.
The keg? K-E-G?
K-E-G. The beer keg.
We have a restaurant called The Keg in Canada.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. No, I mean, that's the only... Okay, so like you're talking about the keg of beer. Is that what it is, a keg?
Right. Yeah.
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 Okay. Okay, I get it.
Another observation of Derek is I know that people have said that Joe Frazier died poor. He didn't have any money. But I think there's something suspicious about that, and the reason why I say this is because I think, in my opinion, Derek Frazier just sounds so frickin' spoiled.
Yeah.
Oh, he is spoiled.
Everything handed to him on a silver platter with a silver spoon, and he... I think that, and the fact that he doesn't have a career, he doesn't have anything like that. He went to private school, things of that nature. And the only reason why he actually got a job was because his mom got sick, and he did it to try to help pay her bills. It's like,
right. Well, Joe Frazier died with about $100,000. However, that doesn't mean that he didn't have property. You know, they're reporting what he has in the bank, right? Like, you know, but you know, that doesn't mean that he hadn't bought properties. He did make investments and stuff like that. But, you know, they don't know everything. Like, people don't know everything about him. So, I mean, he may have had more than $100,000. I don't know. But he did. He was a good fighter. He was. Wouldn't you say, Steve? Steve?
Well, I mean, if you beat Muhammad Ali, you know.
Yeah. And of 39 fights or something, he won 36. You know, so, you know, he was no slouch. I don't know. You know, I mean, he could have, like all these people that we say that were famous and they died with nothing and their kids are walking around with money, you know, they had, not everything is reported to the IRS. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's put it like this. It even got to the point where he couldn't even pay, or maybe he could have. Maybe the money he had could have paid for his own funeral, but Floyd Mayweather ended up paying for his funeral services when he passed away. So, you know, maybe there is potentially some truth to what's been said about him, you know, not having the fact that they didn't even have enough money for him to hand down to his children so that they could pay for his funeral services. Instead, you know, they had Floyd Mayweather Jr. pay for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I shouldn't say they had him, more like he offered to.
Yeah.
And he ended up doing it.
Yeah. It was reported at the time of his death in 2011, I'm just reading it, that he had $100,000. So that doesn't, you know, that to me, you know, that does, that's $100,000 in your bank. Who knows what kind of properties he invested in and shit like that, right? Like, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. Derek Fraser is the epitome of a spoiled brat.
And also another thing, just real quick, defending the fact that he went to a private school. I mean, think about it. The way his father was so popular, if he were to have attended public school, do you know much he would be bothered by the school population?
Mm-hmm. Well, not only,
I mean,
the fact that he was probably overweight and
possibly
gay didn't help. You know.
No, especially during the time that he grew up. Yeah, you know, that obviously, you know, didn't help. But at the same time, you know, I think the fact that he was enrolled, obviously this has nothing to do with anything, you know, Big Brother related, but, you know, just the fact that he was enrolled in private school, I think that was part, in fact, to that maybe they just wanted, because the one thing that has been known about Smokin' Joe Frazier is that he lived a pretty private life to where he even had a private funeral. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe he didn't want his son to have to deal with, you know, the fact that he's the son of a celebrity, essentially,
mm-hmm.
that he's the son of a very famous boxer. You know, that mm-hmm. probably would have done more harm in Derek's upbringing than good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it also says that at the peak of his career, he was worth $2.5 million, but that he was very generous with his money and helped a lot of his friends, right? So, you know, and I can see, you know, my dad was a huge fan of his, right? So, but...
and also keep in mind, $2.5 million at the peak of his career is a lot different back then compared to what it is now.
Oh, for sure. You know, I mean, there are people in Canada, like in my town, friends of mine, that won't retire until they have $2 million, right? And they're not far away from making it, which is really, you know, in my mind, I remember thinking, you know, when I first got married many, many, many years ago, I used to think, we can retire when I have $100,000 in the bank, right? Well, shit, no. You know, like, I mean, you know, I don't know what your pension plans are like in the U.S., you know, but here it's pathetic, absolutely pathetic. Like, senior citizens could never survive on the pension that the Canadian government pays. You could have worked all your life and, you know, paid into it all your life, and it's still pathetic. So, you know, people need a lot of money to retire. And, you know, $2 million these days is not a lot of money. It's not. you know? I mean, you can retire on it for sure, but it's you know, if you have kids and I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. So, but $2.5 million in those days, I think, Steve, was a lot of money. In the 60s?
Well,
sure
obviously.
It was.
Well, wait a minute. Hang on. Let's see. When was he?
He died.
Okay, yeah, yeah. He was in the 60s. He was fighting in the 60s. I forgot
okay.
that I wasn't sure if it was the 60s or the 70s that primarily most of his career was, but it was the 60s. Actually, yeah, it was the 60s.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that was a lot of money back then. But I agree, you know, back to Derek. Like, he does seem pretty spoiled, but that, you know, like, I don't know what kind of a private school he went to or how much it cost per year, but who knows? Somebody else could have been funding that. You know, maybe Meriwether was, funding that too. You know, who knows? Did he have brothers? Does he have brothers and sisters?
I think
Fraser had a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I'm trying to find some sort of information about that right now, but I believe.
Yeah, I don't think he was the only kid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So here we go. It says here that and this is sort of tying a bit into what I said earlier about private school. The fact that Fraser's children, during his time fighting Muhammad Ali, his children were actually bullied at school, and his family were given police protection upon receiving death threats.
Oh, God.
You know, this was back when Muhammad Ali obviously was at the top of his game, and so was Smokin' Joe Frazier. So the fact that this question was even asked, and obviously this has a little bit of a tie-in as well to the overall theme of this season, but back in that day, there was an article that was written that said, "Is Joe Frazier a white champion with black skin?"
Ooh.
So, you know, the fact that it's no wonder that he wanted his family to have a private life, because he was consistently under fire from the media.
I don't even know what that means. Is he a white champion with black skin? What
basically,
does that mean?
Basically meaning that he's the guy that the corporations that were mainly controlled by white people back in the day, and I mean they kind of still are today. In boxing, they push a certain person. When it comes to marketing,
okay.
When it comes to marketing and everything, that's kind of why, for example, Floyd Money Mayweather was one of the top boxers for years within the past decade and a half.
Right.
You know, the fact
right.
that usually big corporations always pick their go-to guy. And that was Smokin' Joe Frazier back in his day. But
well,
I feel we're kind of getting off of the topic of Big Brother here.
Yeah.
And so we should probably let me ask you this, Laura, because we were kind of discussing this before you came on the air. What did you think about Kylan's antics last night?
I thought it was uncalled for. I think there's something wrong with him. I don't think maybe he's ADHD. I don't know, you know, I mean, I apologize to everybody out there who's ADHD, because I know adults with ADHD that take medication and cope well. But I think that his comments were uncalled for, and he handled it like a wimp. You know, there was he was not classy at all. You know, it's a game. You got screwed over, you think. He thinks he got screwed over because, you know, he assumed. I don't think, did X ever say, like, did Xavier or Xavier ever say, you know, well, he did tell him they were in Final Two, but he told the same thing to Big D. I don't know.
Like, he said he presented it. He presented it in the diary room. He presented teaming up with Kyland as a option.
Yeah.
You know, that he had. He now had multiple options.
I really, you know, I think that Kyland felt because he took X down off the block that X owed him. It doesn't work that way in Big Brother.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, Big Brother is a game, and if you chose to save somebody, don't expect the same in return, because 9 times out of 10, it ain't going to happen. So I think bringing up his nephew was a huge mistake. You don't bring family into it, right? Like, that's off limits.
Or if you want to bring family into it, leave the younger members of out of it.
Yeah, but
you want to bring,
you know, you don't.
You want.
I agree, Steve. But you don't bring somebody's mother, you know, like mother into it, or you know, you don't, you know, like you don't bring kids into it. You know, you don't.
No.
Like, in my feeling is he shit on X. He shit on him at the end, and that was wrong. And I don't care, like, I listened to the explanation and all this stuff, but, you know, Kyland is kind of does double speak, right?
Yeah.
He double talks, and... which I'm not really fond of, you know, to begin with. But, you know, Kyland was so convinced that he was so deserving because he won challenges. And, you know, there's a lot of people that won challenges. Like, somebody that comes to mind, even, you know, not the challenges or whatever, but somebody that was really, really screwed over was Danielle Reese. And
yeah.
I believe that Danielle should have won her season. She was screwed over. And she handled it with class. It happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, you know, I mean, even Paul handled his seasons that he lost better than Kyland did.
Well,
and I can't stand
Paul. Let's get Kansas. Kansas is joining us now. Kansas, obviously,
hey,
this has gone on shortly before last night's podcast that we did. But what were your thoughts on Kyland's, you know, Kyland nearly coming to blows physically.
We've never seen anything like that before. It was crazy. And, Laura, I can second pretty much everything you were saying. The thing with Kyland is, how many people did he screw over to in the game? So he can dish it out, but he sure as hell couldn't take it. What a big, dumb, stupid baby, you know? He did the same damn thing. How many people did he screw over? It's a game, right? But when it happens to him, oh, my goodness. Oh, and I thought it was terrible, ridiculous. Him bringing up the family member. He looked like such an idiot fighting with them. We've never seen anybody leave like that. We've seen people be mad, not hug anybody, or walk out with this, with a stick up their butt. But we never saw anything like this.
Didn't Mike Boogie kind of leave like that too?
Yes.
In one of
It wasn't Mike Boogie. It wasn't Mike Boogie. It was Howie.
Howie, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Howie.
That bad? As bad as Kylan?
Well, close.
In Howie's kind of way.
Man, I'm surprised. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, no.
The fact that he took Mike Boogie's hat off of his head and threw it away and then basically called him a punk, got in his face, looked like
he basically looked like he was
going to beat the shit out of Boogie, basically.
Yeah. I probably enjoyed that because I couldn't stand Boogie, so.
Uh-huh.
It didn't bother me because I just,
sitting there eating your popcorn, drinking your soda, going,
I was probably enjoying every second of it. So, yeah, I kind of let that slip out of my mind. But Kylan, he was just so aggravating. And you know he's going to be going to jury, and he's going to try to shit-talk Xavier and try to get everybody to not vote for him. You know that's what's going to happen. I don't expect anybody to give a damn what he has to say, truthfully.
I think Xavier has it in the bag. Yeah, I don't think Tiffany would allow that. I think Tiffany has Kylan's number. So
many times over, she won't let him get away with it.
It's not just that. But he also had the opportunity in his exit interviews today to, maybe apologize and whatnot. But instead, he doubled down.
Of course. We wouldn't apologize, Steve.
What he said.
That's not in his personality. He's always right.
Yeah, there's just people in the world like that, right? And he's one of them. And, I'm blessed that I don't have anybody like that in my life. But there are just people like that.
He borders on the narcissism. And unfortunately, I have come across several narcissists in my life. So, they're always right and they make excuses and they'll make lies. We did this and that and that to them. They're always right. Yeah. They're always good. It's just, ugh.
Yeah.
He's got a kind of a God complex.
Yes.
And he was talking in one of his interviews today about how he felt like he and Xavier were the only two that could adequately represent the cookout, blah, blah, blah. Not exactly those words, but along those lines.
Melissa, I can imagine you watching that and just about puking.
I will agree with this much, Melissa. I will agree that he deserves – we're talking just playing-wise. He was definitely a better player than Azza and Big D.
Yeah.
Okay, the two of them.
Yeah.
And we talked about this like how many weeks ago where we were worried about something like this happening, where they were going to take the two of them at the end. We talked about this. That was a big fear going on with all of us. This is going to suck.
I knew it was going to happen.
But it was good gameplay on Xavier. Truthfully, who is a better player? Okay, I'll agree with Kylan on that little tidbit. Yeah. Okay, yes. As far as gameplay, he should be there over them. But we can argue to the fact Tiffany sure as hell should be there.
Well,
Anna should be there. I mean, there's so many that should be there over who's there. Xavier definitely deserves where he's at. Like it or not, he's definitely
the best
playing this.
Kansas, at the beginning of the game, you get out the people that are perceived threats.
Right.
By the end of the game, you know who the threats are for sure.
Right.
And I believe X did the right thing. If he wants
he did,
to win,
for his game, yes. For
yeah,
his game,
you know, so
100%.
He got rid of the threat. So, you know,
Kylan
did
not
right
do that. If Kylan was smart, Kylan would have gotten rid of Xavier. Kylan thought he
exactly.
was doing that was in Kylan's mind. You know, what did they say? It was the Batman, Superman complex. He wanted to go to the end,
yep.
you know, with a fabulous player. He felt that the fabulous player should go to the end. That was in his mind. But that wasn't in Xavier's mind. And I'm sure Kylan can look at this now and smack himself upside the head and say, why did I keep him? I had the chance. I should have gotten
yeah.
rid of Xavier when I had the chance. But you didn't, dude. You didn't do it. He got you. You got. Accept
yeah, exactly.
it. Okay?
Sure did.
Accept it. Be a man. Accept it. You're not a baby. Accept what happened.
Right.
You got played.
Right.
You played other people. You got them out. Now he got you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Precisely.
See, the thing is that Kylan, in his mind, had already won the game. He
of
said,
course.
As long as I can get into the final two, I'm done. I've got it.
Right.
Right?
He was the best
because
player in
said,
his mind, yes, that he really felt that way.
Yeah.
Now he's a better player.
I'm
going to agree with him. He's definitely better than Oz on Big D. And if one of them would win, that would be atrocious. But I don't see
well,
it happening.
Well, you know what, though? Let's not discount that.
It could happen. I hear you. I know it could happen. I would be shocked if it did, but, I mean, it could happen. You're right.
Well, you know, I mean, Azza and Big D now are going to play against each other, right? Wouldn't it
right.
be something? Wouldn't it be something if Azza won the final, you know, HOH, right? And
she
has
a good chance, too.
Yeah. Against Big
He's
D.
He's never won one HOH.
No. Yeah. So,
and if it's
you know,
a point
I mean,
of, you know, staying on for a long time or strength or whatever, she's got him beat because, he, you know,
yeah.
he can't hold on.
I'm
I mean, he's so, very big. He can't
I'm
hold
so,
on
I'm
to
sorry,
things.
But
if it's going to be, you know.
It's literally the only chance that Azza would have of winning is if she was up against Big D. If she's up against
exactly.
Xavier. And I covered this earlier. If she's up against Xavier, she's toast, no matter what competition
right.
it is or if it's in the final two.
Okay,
I
guess I'm so, thinking right now part two because I know that Xavier won part one. So
yeah.
that's kind of in my mind right
yeah,
now is
so,
part two because
yeah.
I see her beating
oh, okay.
Big
I thought,
D.
I thought you were talking.
Two.
I thought you were.
I'm sorry.
I thought,
no, I was
were,
talking
I
about
thought you
the.
Were talking about,
no, but
I thought
what,
you were talking
I
about
I
the
was
actual.
A different frame of mind.
There's always
I'm
a
sorry.
Chance. There's always a chance that that could happen. You know, there's always a chance.
If it's a bitter
I mean,
jury,
I don't know. You know,
if
just,
it's a bitter jury, then they'll give it to one of them. But truthfully,
you know,
Xavier, and then the way they're talking, I don't see it. They seem to want to pick the best player, and they seem to feel it's Xavier.
Yeah,
yeah
I don't know. But
just,
all I'm saying
just
is,
from what I've seen, just from what I've seen so far this season, all the mental stuff. I mean, let's keep in mind, round two is mental, round three is mental, and
right.
also. And also not to mention, when you're answering jury questions and presenting your case, that is also mental.
Yeah.
Every single time we have seen each of these three in any sort of mental situation, whether it's, you know, whether it's some sort of competition or some sort of situation, Xavier has always been the person who's held everything together.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, I see him winning anything against either of them. But Azza and Big D going at it together for part two, I'm expecting that to be physical. So I'm expecting her to probably win it hands down.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let me, real quick here, I believe we have Joe. Is this you?
Hey
Hello?
Guys, can you hear me?
You,
I'm having a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is me,
are,
but I'm having a problem with my app. You guys are breaking up.
Okay.
Not you.
Yeah, you are connected. Hey, you are connected. We can hear you.
Hey guys.
First, I want to apologize for the last time that you were on the show, because things got a little heated. And we've stated this a couple of times actually since the last time you were on that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we say is opinion based. You know, we're not going off. We're just going off of what we're feeling based off of what we're seeing. So, I sort of feel like the last time you were on, you know, things got kind of heated when they really didn't need to, and that's kind of our fault. So I want to apologize on behalf of the show to you.
All right. If I were a gentleman, I would accept the apology, but you guys should know by now I'm not a gentleman. But I'll accept the apology anyway. But the thing is, you don't have to apologize because if you call that a heated argument, then you've been in some very tepid situations. And I didn't think you raised your voice. Maybe I did a little bit. I didn't want to. But, yeah, everybody has an opinion. And a raised voice,
right,
as long as the intention
exactly.
behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And as long as the intention behind it isn't to be especially acerbic or especially aggressive, that shouldn't really matter in the conversation. But I accept your apology. The apology isn't necessary. Were you guys on last night? Because I think I wanted to come in, but you only had a few minutes left.
Yeah, for Survivor. We talked Survivor last night.
Okay. Was that about the finale?
No.
This is just starting, first episode.
For
the Survivor. Okay. So how's Big Brother doing?
Well, we are down to the final three now. But you know, real quick, Joe, if you do ever want to call in to the Survivor
uh-huh.
shows, we will be doing them every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern for this
okay.
Survivor season.
I might even have to start watching the reality shows now in order to come in.
You'll enjoy Survivor, Joe. I mean, if you want to watch something really good, this is a terrific
uh-huh.
cast. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be fast key because they had to cut back on a lot of the shows, so there's going to be, you know, more evictions. But it's going to be very exciting. It's a very diverse cast. It's not a bunch of kids. There's a lot of older,
mm-hmm.
you know, people in the cast, too. I think you might enjoy it. Give it a shot and see what you think.
Yeah, I'd be more interested in what the baby boomers have to do in terms of ingenuity. See if they can outsmart the Gen X and the millennials. That might be fun.
Well, this is
yeah, I think
group.
A baby boomer's been voted off already, right? What makes a baby boomer? What age?
Baby boomers are like 50s, 60s, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think anything after...
Late 40s, maybe.
No, late 40s wouldn't be the baby boomers. I think it would be
okay,
the
50s,
yeah, 45.
50s then probably
yeah.
would be baby boomers.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm in the
okay.
baby boomer category. I'm a... Yeah. So
you'd enjoy because there's a lot of people. There's several in their 50s that are playing, and these aren't lightweights. You know, these people are going to be giving it their all.
Good. Represent great power.
Yeah, seriously. Usually they'll cast, you know, a bunch of models or whatever, which we hate. We hate when they cast, like, the 20-something models. You know, we want to see real
uh-huh.
people.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, it'd be fun to see people, baby boomers in particular, with ingenuity going out there into the fray, outsmarting the millennials and the Gen X. Well, actually, the Gen X and the millennials have been dumbed down so much, I'd be surprised if the baby boomers couldn't do it with their, you know, with their hands tied behind their back.
You'll probably enjoy this. Give it a watch.
I'll tell you one thing, Joe. Compared to what we may see out of the older contestants in some reality shows, in Survivor, they have a pretty good chance most of the time in those seasons, unless they're, you know, physically unable to contribute to their tribes.
Right.
You know, they a lot of baby boomers actually do pretty well on the show.
I'm good. I'm glad to hear. Like I said, I'm not. I really shouldn't be surprised, actually, because I'm a baby boomer, and the best, you know, the one, the generation I was called the best generation. It was the one before me. That was the World War II, post-World War II generation. You know, really the World War II generation. And you have to give them credit for having, you know, endured the war here at home, and, of course, the war over in the front. But the educational system has been dumbed down since the 40s and 50s. So that's why I say that about Gen X and millennials, not because they're genetically inferior, but just because the education system has been damaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I will give it a whirl, you know.
Yeah.
But the big brother, so what's happening, what's new, and, you know, any alliances that are interesting, any cutthroat people that are especially, that should be on a horror show?
Yeah. Yeah. We've been kind of discussing the exit of one of the house guests, and his name is Kylan, and he kind of got... When they told him that he was evicted, he kind of got in one of the other house guests' face, was kind of refusing to leave and was bringing up his nephew and about how, you know, he is not giving his nephew somebody to look up to, not being a good role model for his nephew, et cetera.
The other one, Xavier's nephew. It was a poor exit. Poor exit.
Mm-hmm.
Some people thought they were going to come to blows, and yeah, no, it was just not very classy at all. I mean, you know, understanding that people that are evicted aren't happy that they're evicted, but most people exit the house on, you know,
with a sense of grace.
Some kind of dignity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, well, there's no choice. I mean, for them, I didn't see it, but from what you're saying, for somebody to blow up or have any kind of, you know, temper tantrum as a result of being evicted, and if he wasn't, that's the part of the game where if you feel the producers are evicting you, they're not. It's the contestants. But from what I understand from you guys, there's a particular segment in Big Brother, you call it the room, I forget what kind of room
diary
it is.
Room.
The diary room.
The diary room. Yeah.
And isn't that the place where the producers sometimes give very, very overt hints to the person in the diary room? That can piss people off. I mean, I wouldn't like it if the producer was giving my competition hints against me, unless the producer was also giving me significant hints against him or her. That would balance things out.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Joe. Well, here's the thing, Joe, and this is kind of what it revolved around last night, is the fact that Kylan, the whole season had been about, I want to go up against the best in the end. You know, I want to, even if I may potentially lose against the guy, I want to go up against the best. So he wanted to go up against Xavier, to the point of where when Xavier was in trouble last week, he saved him with the power of veto so that Xavier wouldn't be able to be evicted. And he was expecting Xavier to do the same thing this week when his turn came around, and Xavier decided not to save him, and instead Kylan ended up getting evicted. And basically, you know, if you were in Xavier's position, you know, you see Kylan as your number one threat to either getting second place or going home $750,000 richer. I mean, you would probably go for the $750,000, wouldn't you?
Well, that's what I was about to say. Look, if anybody who's seen this, the Big Brother from Series 1, Episode 1, has to know you cannot rely on the alliances that you form, because everybody is going to go for the main prize. Why should they give up a cash remuneration for the sake of a temporary friendship that's going to end when the show ends? If I was in Big Brother, I would make all kinds of alliances, all kinds of promises, and then break every one.
How do you think they get that money?
That's what most of them do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the purpose of the show, is to win through deception.
Right. Exactly.
Otherwise, you're to form temporary alliances. You're lucky if they don't cut your throat by the time the end of the series is coming around. And if you do, that's cool. And you guys were talking about a while back, I had formed. So perhaps people did think that because of a sexual attraction and because of perhaps, I guess they made love incognito, that perhaps they're thinking that if I make an alliance with him or her, this will stick and it will continue past the show. And apparently it does. But I don't know if any heterosexual alliances would last. I mean, I wouldn't. If somebody said to me, Joe, how about you and I, cutting their throat? I would say, yeah. And when it came time to cut his throat, I would say, hasta la vista.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. If they really were with you, you know, if you were in a relationship with somebody in the house, like the many showmances that we see, if you were really in a relationship, and this has actually happened. What season was it? Was it Laura? Was it Big Brother 5 that Drew evicted Diane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh? So basically, if you're in a showmance and your showmance partner, is standing between you and the grand prize, if that person was really romantically interested in you, they would they would understand.
Right.
Why you would cut them?
Sure.
To go for the win.
Because look, we've seen this even this season with friendships. You know, when they were really true friends, they understood why they were cut, and they still loved that person, and you know, and they still rooted for them. So I mean, it happens with relationships, and you know, love relationships, you know. Or even friendships.
Well,
you know,
they really care
about each other. They accept it and, you know, and realize it was just the game.
Yeah. Perfect example is in 18, season 18, when who's the good looking surfer? you know who I'm talking about.
On 18.
Huh?
On 18? Or are you thinking 17?
No. Maybe, who's the girl?
Tyler. Tyler and,
Tyler
I think
and
she's
Angela.
Tyler and, what's her name again?
Angela.
Angela. Tyler and Angela.
So Tyler cut Angela, right?
No, he
did
didn't
know.
Cut her. He didn't cut her. No, it was,
Casey,
right.
Okay, right. But he would have cut her.
I don't know about that.
If his mind was
still
in the game.
I'm not sure if he would have. In that situation, I don't know if he would have.
I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know. I just think that the way this played out, Xavier did the right thing. He made the
right
move
for his game to win. Right.
For his game and for $750,000. Seriously, $750,000?
Right.
I would have done the same thing.
Look at Cody and Derek. They are the prime example. Anybody in that kind of a dilemma, all they need to do is remember back. Cody thought he was doing the right thing by taking Derek. And boy, did it screw him, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. And he made, you know, like when he played again, he said, I won't do that again. And he didn't.
Right.
It's a lucky thing. Yeah.
He was smart. I mean, he could have taken Victoria, and he would have had an easy win. But what did he want to do? That was his bro. They were the best players, and they he wanted to go head-to-head with his bro. And look what happened.
Yeah.
And they've asked Derek, would you have taken him? You know, and he said, oh, yes, I would have. I don't know if that's so true, though. If Derek would have faced the same situation, I don't know if Derek would have actually taken Cody. He might have taken Victoria to himself.
Oh, I think
it's easy to say
Victoria.
That, you know, when you already won the game and you didn't have to make that kind of decision. But I don't know if Derek would have done the same thing and would have taken Cody, and Cody would have understood because he really loved him. You know, they were good. They were best friends.
Even if they don't understand, everybody's there for the money. They're not there for bromance or romance. If they are,
Joe, this guy last night was such a damn baby. It was ridiculous. He has cut and played so many players himself. So when it came around where he got, he couldn't take it. It was like dish it out, but he sure as hell couldn't take it. That was the whole scenario last night. And he looked like an idiot screaming at this guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes for interesting television. It makes
it was
makes
very interesting,
bad.
But he looked like a total jerk. It was crazy.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not really representative of, what a man should do. Man should take, you know, his licks and take it gracefully. It wasn't done unfairly. It wasn't done behind his back. And if it was, that's the purpose of the show. Anybody who gets played, they have to realize that $750,000 is the prize. It's not temporary friendship. And for people who don't understand that, I don't understand them.
And here's another thing, you guys. I mean, he was so stupid to begin with because Derek was really considering taking him. And he couldn't even say to Derek, yes, we're going to the end together. You know, I mean, he was totally blowing it on, you know, we're over that, you know, reasoning too.
Yeah.
But how stupid
like,
was he with Big D?
I know.
Because Big
was
D
really
was
dumb.
Ready to take him.
I know.
And I think after Kylan gave him all that bullshit, he decided, you know what, screw you too, buddy.
Yeah.
The hell with you. Right?
No, I agree with you, and I you know, I absolutely, well, you know, Melissa, I don't know, you and I both had Xavier picked as one of our favorites, right, at the beginning.
Yeah, I think the Xavier, Kylan, I think I had Xavier, Kylan, Hannah, Tiffany, and Claire were my five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Sarah Beth instead of Hannah. I can't remember.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I mean, what do I know? I had Frenchie. But,
Okay, then. All right. That was good. You woke everybody up with that one.
You know, but, I mean, I always had X on my list. And I had X on my list. I had Tiffany. I loved Hannah. I really did. I really loved Hannah. And I loved Claire. So, you know, I'm not at all upset that X is at the end. I think, you know, he played the game well. He was smart. He was well-spoken. And boy,
absolutely.
That, you know, that excerpt tonight when Tiffany was talking to him about being a bartender and she said, I know you're not a bartender, right? You know, she did have him pegged. And remember, who was it that said, wasn't it Tiffany or Hannah that said, if we don't get rid of X, he's going to win the game.
Yeah, Tiffany said that. Yes.
Yeah. And he is, you know. And more power to them.
I agree.
Whatever. I mean, certainly there's people that can probably use the money better. He is a lawyer, and he is making good money. However, he's probably still paying off student loans. And, you know, this will get him further ahead and everything. And, you know, he's accomplished. I mean, it's the same thing as Dr. Will. When he won $500,000, he was already a doctor. And everybody cheered that he won, and he spent the money wisely. He bought himself a condo, paid off his student loans, and invested in some restaurants. He did the right thing.
The big thing about Xavier this season is, and this kind of distances himself from Kyland. Kyland was very reckless, very aggressive when it came to targeting, when it came to making moves and whatnot. Xavier picked his spots. He made it to where, and I mean, this started all the way in week three when he won HOH for the first time, and he targeted Brent because he knew everybody in the house wanted Brent out. So if he were to take out Brent, no blood on his hands, basically.
No.
Except for Whitney, and it didn't matter anyways because she was going out next to begin with. So,
and none of those people were on jury. So what does it matter?
Yeah. So the biggest thing separating Xavier from Kyland is Xavier was more. He was more strategic when it came to times to strike.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He minimized his target to the point of where they said that we're stupid if we keep him in this house. If we keep him in this house, he is going to make it to the end. That just shows you how minimal his target was. The fact that he's been up on the block, let me count real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times since week 7.
And especially at the tail end, Steve. I mean, Azza had the shot. Kyland had the shot himself. They should have gotten him out.
Yeah.
Well, and Hannah had the shot.
And Hannah had the shot, exactly.
You know, and when Hannah had that shot, I actually thought that they were going to vote him out. I thought, yeah, they're going to get rid of X. Yay, because he's a threat. Because I was cheering, of course, for Hannah. And no, they didn't get him out. That was a huge mistake. Huge.
Well, then again, though, but then, see, I keep forgetting this, though, but this was before it became the final six.
Yeah.
Because then it didn't really seem to matter so much. It was keeping the final six. But then when it got
I
to
know.
The final six, they had their shots and they didn't take it.
No, they didn't. So, you know, like, I don't know. But I really wanted Hannah or Tiffany or Claire to win because I wanted a woman to win.
Oh, I agree with you, especially Tiffany.
And
Tiffany really deserved that win.
Yeah. And,
yes, she
you
did.
Know, well, Tiffany was the brainchild behind that alliance.
Exactly.
You know, so that's why I really wanted her to win because that was brilliant. The way they, I mean, really, I don't care if they were black.
I'm hoping
white,
she gets America's
or,
player. You know, I think she deserves it.
Yeah,
I've been voting
I'm,
for her. So
yeah.
So there's, you know, it doesn't matter whether the alliance was black, purple, pink, white, green. They played it well, and they played it with finesse.
Yeah.
And they did a good job, and I mean, it just happened that they, that was their goal, was to have six black people at the end, but it wouldn't have mattered if anybody, had used that, and the partnering up with one other person, you know, outside of the alliance, was brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
The
absolutely
the
brilliant.
Big difference,
and, I mean, even the people in
the
jury house.
This was, it was very similar. It was very similar to what the Brigade did back in season 12 when they first.
Sure.
Yeah, I got the
yeah.
right season 12, when they set this up. Now, had they stuck to the plan in season 12 and they had kept Matt, you know, it would have been the perfect alliance to have gotten all the way to the end. The cookout this season did what the Brigade couldn't do. And that
That's right.
stay together with all of their core members and still using that strategy. They perfected that strategy this season.
But
yeah,
you know what
I
the other difference
you.
Is? What the other difference is the fact that those people that they partnered up with, the Alliance members that partnered up with those other people outside of the Alliance, very true feelings for, you know, their partner. Like, you know, he did love Claire, right? You know, they really, and I mean, you know, X, when Alyssa went, he had tears. They really did care about those people.
Because he loved her. Yeah.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah. He was hot for her.
Oh.
Yep.
You know, I mean, maybe
outside of the showmances, have there been any real friendships that are formed after the show is over?
This season is going to be one of the seasons where I think the most friendships are formed.
After the show? I mean, they still remain friends?
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's some true friendships there.
That is interesting.
However, I don't think Sarah Beth is going to still...
With Kylan. No, she feels so betrayed by him.
Yeah.
No.
I was going to say
I don't think
that,
anyone's
you know,
going to be friends with Kylan after this season, do you guys?
The
I don't
final
think he's going
to
have one friend.
I have to tell you. Credit goes to the final six, to Tiffany, to Hannah, to Kylan, to Xavier, and the other two just rode along.
Right.
They got drug along. They didn't really
do crap.
They got there because of the color of their skin. They didn't really play.
You're talking
so
about
sort of like,
Big D and Aja.
Yeah.
Yeah, Big D and
basically,
Aja.
Basically, they were along for the ride while not presenting themselves as legitimate threats to win the game.
Right.
You know, that's one way to win the game. If you continue to think or make people
possibly
think of yourself as not a threat.
Well, Big D feels that way. He feels he's a really strong competitor.
Oh,
and,
he'll tell you
he
was a wonderful player.
he thinks he can beat him.
That's kind of why I brought up, even though there's no way in hell that you can really ever compare Big D to Will Kirby, because Will Kirby played the game with perfection. But you cannot dismiss the fact that, yeah, Derek F. may not have made moves by winning competitions, but the social game is still a very key portion of Big Brother. And if he is able to articulate himself in the right way against, you know, say Xavier or Aja in the final tribal, or not final tribal, I'm on Survivor
tribal
now. In the final, the finale night, it's possible we could potentially still see a Big D win, even though he hasn't won a single competition this season.
Right.
Right.
Oh, no.
But
I can't see it happening either.
I'm with you, Melissa. I just think Xavier would wipe the floor with him.
Is there going to be a round table, Steve?
Is there going to be a round table with Dr. Will?
They didn't have it last year.
I don't know if it'll be with Dr. Will.
I believe they filmed it today, if I recall correctly, through Hamster Watch on Twitter. If I recall correctly, they said that they filmed it today. So
the round table didn't have it last year, did they?
Was Dr. Will the guy there too?
They did. I don't know if Dr. Will was the one doing it, but I believe they did a round table last year too.
Did they? Because I just don't remember.
I got to tell you that Danielle Reyes, she had said something. Jason and I would love to host the round table. So I don't know if they were. I don't know if they were. If somebody came to them and asked them if they would do it. But I had heard something that Danielle was saying, we'd love to do it. So whether they were asked,
Has anybody played a form of a Big Brother chess? In other words, has anybody lost a competition in order for the winner to be targeted and perhaps taken out in the future so that the loser of the competition can get ahead?
Yep.
Okay, say that again.
Basically, have they deliberately lost a competition so that the winner of that competition could be targeted in the future? And definitely, Joe, it's happened a whole bunch of times.
Oh, okay.
Because of the fact that if somebody wins the HOH competition 1 week, they can't play in the next week's HOH. So the only way that they would be safe is to win the veto, which that can always be worked around by having them get backdoored by not playing in the veto competition and thus not having a chance to save themselves. So that's happened plenty of times in past Big Brother seasons.
You get that Survivor shit out of your brain right now.
I can't help it. We just had a show last night. I can't help it.
It's hard. I understand.
I'm just laughing at you. That's all. You know, I'm laughing with you, not at you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good, because I've had people laugh at me all day. So it's great. It's great to finally not have somebody laugh.
Well, you know what? I went to the zoo today and the monkey was laughing at me.
Aww.
True.
What were you wearing?
Red.
I was fully clothed.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
No, I don't know, but that monkey just got a big kick out of me. I don't know. Like.
Probably.
I don't know. I'm going to dream about that.
Women are being harassed even by monkeys.
Yeah. For sure.
If you're on Big Brother, you will ever your complaint against the monkey.
Do you know what? If I wasn't so old, I'd love to be on Big Brother Canada, right? But you know, I'm way beyond that age limit, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, but I actually like the way Big Brother Canada, I love Big Brother Canada, probably a little bit better than Big Brother U.S., but I don't know.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah, but... you know, and it's not because I'm Canadian. It's because I just think that, well, first of all, last season for Big Brother Canada was very, very diverse. I liked the fact that they threw in a triple eviction. That was pretty exciting. You know, there's, you know, Big Brother Canada seems to be more innovative than Big Brother US. I don't know. That's just my opinion. But
I hear it's more respectful, too. Is that
it's
true?
It's very much, yeah, for sure. For sure it is, you know. It is a little bit more respectful but, you know, like, I mean, what happened tonight or last night on with Kylan probably wouldn't have happened in Canada. You know,
that's good, because it shouldn't have happened last night too. That was ridiculous.
Yeah,
and why did Julie wait so long? She should have been yelling, Kylan, we want you out here, get out here. She just let it go on.
Because
they need it
for drama. This season has lacked drama.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
You know,
right,
a lot of it has to do with keeping viewers invested. And
yeah.
people eat this shit up. People eat up confrontations like that.
Well,
now,
we didn't.
There was definitely a lot of potential. There was definitely a lot of potential for some violence to happen last night between
sure.
the two.
You know, but
absolutely.
Kansas, we're talking about it, though, right? So, you know, I mean, it affected us because we're talking about it. I can't believe that it went that far, personally.
Yeah,
because, you
me
know,
too.
Like in Canada, like we're all, I'm sorry, please, you know, like that just wouldn't happen. You know, it just wouldn't happen.
But we're not
I
talking about it in a good way. We're not talking about it like, wow, wasn't that funny? Wasn't that crazy? That was really cool.
No,
we're bitching about it. Like, this was ridiculous. What's wrong with it?
I know. But, you know, like, you know who used to say, Dr. Will used to say, bad press is still good press.
Because it's press.
Because it's press.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. Like, I mean, like I agree with Steve. It got a reaction, you know, and it woke people up. Because, honestly, I was kind of bored. And I watched the show last night, and I went, holy shit, what's going on here? Like, seriously, is this guy going to hit him? Like,
and it got people talking. It got people talking to the point of where, you know how social media has become a huge thing now in recent years when
right.
it comes to integrating social media into television. And now... Literally last night, I think it was like around 3 o'clock, or actually no, around 6 o'clock this morning, Kylan was still trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
So,
oh, he's such a jerk.
You know, that basically, it tells you that CBS basically got the reaction that they were looking for.
They wanted.
Because it kept people talking.
I agree
well,
with that.
Well, for them.
Well, that's the way it is in Hollywood. Confrontation,
yeah,
drama,
exactly.
It makes the news. Bad,
exactly.
bad publicity is still good publicity. Unless you're a politician,
yeah, exactly.
But even then, it doesn't matter.
Okay, you guys, I've got to go because you're all breaking up. So I'm getting a poor connection, so I'm going to go. It was really nice talking to everybody, and I'm looking forward to Sunday and Wednesday. Talk to you guys soon.
Good talking
bye,
to you.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Okay.
And I'm going to sign off also, y'all. I got to get up early and go to Turkey, Iowa.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Turkey, Iowa.
All right. Have a good night, y'all.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we still have about 23 minutes left in the actual main portion of the show before we go into the extra hour. If we do even have anything else to talk about for the final hour, considering the fact, you know, obviously Big Brother is coming to a close. Next week, actually, next this upcoming Wednesday, I believe,
Yay!
Is the finale.
Yay!
So, for those who may listen to our show and are wondering, we will have the final edition of the Big Brother recap show next week, next Friday night, and we'll basically cover the entire season, essentially. From beginning to end, especially if Xavier – well, actually, I guess you could make a compelling story for either of the final three currently. So there's still a little bit to talk about, I guess you could say, depending on what happens in these final two parts of the of the final three HOH.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you guys. Do you think that Xavier is set to take Big D, or do you think that maybe there's a possibility that he might change his mind and take Ozza with him to the final two? What do you think?
You know what? I think that if Ozza wins part two, he would take her. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, but he has said that his real final two is Big D.
Right.
So he might stay with that.
I was just wondering if you guys thought maybe he could change his mind.
I mean,
anything's possible. Anything's possible. He's stated that his real final two is with Big D.
Because I'm sure Big D, which won't happen, but let's say if Big D had the choice, I really believe he would take Ozza with him. Because he would know that he couldn't beat Xavier, and I believe he would take probably Ozza. Do you agree?
So do I. Yeah, I do. I agree, and I think Ozza would take Big D.
Because, I mean, you have to. Well, with Ozza, you never know, Melissa. She just does the craziest things. But if both of them were smart, they would take each other.
Yeah, I think she would take Big D.
I would think
too,
but I was shocked what she did to begin with. I was shocked when she didn't put the two biggies up there when she finally had that chance, when she won that one stinking HOH and just blew it.
Yeah.
I mean, she totally wasted that HOH. It was crazy.
Yeah. I agree.
So with Ozza now, I don't know what to think with her. But I do believe that Big D would take her and be smart.
I think he would. I think that he would probably take Ozza. Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure he would.
I mean, here's the odd part. Here's the odd part, though, is that there hasn't really been any indication on the show what he's going to do.
Right. Exactly.
You know, there's always the possibility that maybe Big D might take Ozza. Maybe Big D might stay true to Xavier, because they did really have that connection where at the time Derek and Xavier were both on the outside at one point before the cookout was even formed. So,
and Xavier's smart enough, he could try to talk him into it also.
Yeah, and by the way, they said that the cookout was formed on day one last night. Yeah, that's still bullshit, but let's Yeah, let's continue to go along with that thing that it was formed on day one. No, it was not. Complete bullshit that it was.
Yeah.
It was formed after the slaughterhouse was formed.
Yep.
And the slaughterhouse was formed, what, day two?
Yeah.
So, you know, that whole narrative, you know, it's kind of fun. It's kind of funny how, you know, we talked about how I brought up the thing last night on the Survivor pod, for example, how the narrative was that, you know, they started off that whole come on in guys story, and that Ricard, you know, had seized the opportunity to know that basically if he all of a sudden objected to it the very next day, you know, that it would get put on the show. It's the same thing with Big Brother. You know, there's a certain narrative that the show wants to go along with. And we've seen it very clearly this season. You know, the fact, and I brought this up too in the, well, I guess we could almost call it non-existent live chat that we had this tonight, because tonight was maybe, considering it was only a memory lane episode, you know, there wasn't really much interest in tonight's episode. But one of the things they did show was the relationship between Christian and Alyssa, and the fact that they would have to stay apart from each other in order to not get targeted. The fact that they didn't even bother to put on the main show when they were still in the house tells you right then and there that they did not factor at all into CBS's narrative that they were going with for the season.
Yeah, I think, now I had said this before, I think that CBS had a vision of how they wanted it to go, and then when things started going a different way, then they got on board with that. But like I said, I would have preferred, And it did happen that way, kind of, where the black and the white could play together and be and play well together. And so the black, the cookout, had each, you know, their white person, even though two of them were people of color that weren't included in the alliance. But I would have liked to have seen that once all the other people, the cookout and then their offshoots or their pets or whatever you want to call them, their person, once the other people were out of the house, then the real game begins. I would have liked to see a mix of people going into the end of the game. You know what I mean?
Hello? Am I here?
Yeah, sorry. I was, you're here. I'm sorry. I was typing up something.
It was not going to pan out that way. They had it all planned, and it just was not going to happen.
Yeah, it's what I would have preferred to happen. I think it's maybe what CBS was hoping would happen. But then when it didn't happen that way, they had to go with it and take it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I would have preferred it to go that way, because I would like to have seen.
So you're not going along with Jim's idea that CBS made put that in their minds to do this. So you're not going with that frame of mind.
What do you mean?
Because Jim was basically saying that CBS was telling them to do this.
I don't think that CBS told them to create this alliance. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't. I think that when they started out, their hope was that by having a larger mix of people of color, that we wouldn't see the them all out first, basically.
But at the same
time, because that would bother the
time,
hell
though,
out of me, Melissa, if CBS did that.
At the same time, though, Kansas, you can't really say that once things started rolling that CBS didn't kind of have the producers egg it on.
I think they did.
You know what I mean?
I think that once it wasn't going the way that they wanted it, what I think they had envisioned, that they had to roll with it and take advantage
of it.
Well, they didn't really have any choice.
At the same time, though, they saw an opportunity for good press by having contestants make history in Big Brother.
Right.
In coincidentally, the first season to have 50% a cast of 50% people of color and 50% white. You know,
as many fans that are angry about it, or just as many fans that are very happy that this happened. And that's
not just
black people. This is white people too. You know, it's very much, you know, right down the middle. It's really not more people feel angry about it.
But basically, you can't really call it a coincidence that this happened, though. You know what I mean?
See, I just hate production. I wish that production would just stick their noses out of things and just let the game be the game. I hate that.
What I'm saying is that I do not believe that CBS went into the season thinking this is what we're going to do. We're going to have these six people form this alliance, and they're going to take it to the end. Now let's get that in their ears, blah, blah, blah. What I think they intended was that there was going to be enough mix that we weren't going to be seeing all the black people voted out first.
Yeah.
And if you want to be, I'll have to say this, and it's not being racist in any way or putting down anybody else who has played the game. But I think that the people that they did bring in, the people of color that they did bring in, had very good heads on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
They had brains. They had a means of strategy and getting themselves to the end. Smarter, basically. Not saying that the other people weren't smarter or weren't
they
smart.
Had people who were students. They had people who were students of the game, basically.
Right.
Yes. They were more capable, I guess. And
right.
I know that sounds really bad. It sounds really bad. But even really fan favorites that were people of color in the past, like Devon, you know, she was entertaining. She was very entertaining. But I don't think she really had the strategy aspect of it. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And also, it's like I said a couple of weeks ago, I think a lot of the people of color, there were a lot of people of color that did go kind of far in the game. They just didn't make it to the end, like Danielle, as far as Danielle did. Let's just say that. But it's not like they were the first out.
Well, we've had black people that had great strategies. You know, we've seen a mixture. Yeah, you know, just like
real
us.
Quick,
you know, I mean, it's always been a mixture, just like us.
Real quick,
just like white people.
We have added Teresa onto the line here. Teresa, you're just in time before we go into the after show here in the next 8 minutes or so.
Hola, Teresa.
Hola, konnichiwa. Hi.
I'm glad you're here.
I am exhausted. I ended up leaving work today. I passed out. And
don't get sick again. Oh man.
And so I slept till like 5 o'clock this afternoon, so I am like wired.
You okay?
Yeah. I think I just got dehydrated. I had about 3 cups of coffee and 0 water by then.
Oh, that could do it.
Huh. But
yeah.
Anywho.
Well, yeah, we were just discussing, where were we at? We were discussing black
strategy, strategies.
Yeah.
Good strategies.
I will have to say, since this is my second season of watching Big Brother, I'm kind of at a disadvantage on that topic. That being said, I mean, you look at David and Davon from last season, and they were pretty good. And even this season, I mean, we had some decent people. It's kind of half and half, I'd say. Hannah, Tiffany, and Xavier were pretty decent strategists and stuff, and that. But
well, Kylan was too, to a degree. But
yeah.
What I'm saying that in past seasons, I don't think that we've had the level of strategy. Except for Danielle Reyes, she was dynamite. She was a very good strategist.
I might have to go back and rewatch.
See,
that
David
season.
Disappointed me last season, but his first season, he seemed to really get a good grasp, not knowing anything about the game. You know, he seemed to really get a good grasp of what was going on. And I mean,
uh-huh.
I remember being so bummed out, wishing that he would have had a chance to have been able to really play, because he looked like he would have been a terrific game player. But then last season, he just disappointed me so badly.
Yeah, I don't think they all of them talked a big talk about, you know, looking after each other and everything, but none of them really had the strategy to get themselves further in the game. You know
yeah,
what
I mean, look what he did with Davon. He made her. He screwed her game terribly.
Yeah, and
it was awful.
But last season, it wasn't necessarily strategy that got people to the end. It was their competition ability. I mean, Cody pretty much smoked everybody.
Yeah.
And I know, like with this season, I mean, I'm not sure as far as, like, strategy-wise and competitions. I mean, Xavier's been able to do well with competition and strategy.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, I mean, kind of like what a lot of people do, they get where the cookout was coming from, but I wish there was a balance that
yeah.
it didn't go.
Yeah.
Well,
you
can't help it if certain people suck. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't really
exactly.
help it.
Yeah.
I mean, Aza and Big D were. I hate to say this. Forgive me for saying this, but they were both a worthless piece of shit all season.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, well, they didn't pull their weight. Let's just say that. I mean,
yeah.
Derek could barely get up off the couch. So
exactly.
And Ozzy stayed
that,
in bed all
broke
season.
Bed too. Not just that,
yeah,
but Ozzy
broke
in bed
a lot also. Yeah.
I'm not sure
slept
Derek,
in the
Derek
bed
broke
part.
A Derek broke a bed, too, this season. Let's not forget
oh,
that.
Oh, did he break a bed?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Did he really?
I must have missed
wow.
that one.
Oh, my.
And,
I mean Ozzy, go ahead.
I was just saying it's kind of like what a friend of mine who's not in Whispers said, that they basically, Big D and Ozzy just pretty much floated the whole season.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
The frustrating thing, too, yeah. Teresa, was when Ozzy had that damn shot, she finally wins HOH. She knows what was going on. Tiffany drummed it into her head. These boys are going to be working together. They're going to get us all out. The writing was on the table. She had a damn shot to change the game around. And she freaking blew it, and she totally wasted that HOH. That, above everything, just infuriates me with her.
Yeah, she, you know, had she been smart, she would have I don't know.
Put the two guys up. She would have taken her shot.
Exactly.
And she would have been,
exactly.
And I'll tell you what, she would have been appreciated by fans a lot more, too.
Yeah.
She would have been looked at, you know, like, wow, Ozzy, at the end, okay, but you didn't really do much, but look what you did now. Good for you, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Right?
She would have preferred to get Kyland out. That's what
she would
really
have had some respect doing that, at least. No
yeah.
respect at all, even when they talked about it, you know, in the jury house. It was the same thing. It's like, wow, you mean you blew it. You blew your HOH for that.
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, if
yeah.
I was Ozzy, the smartest thing would have been to put Kylan and Xavier on the block with Big
yes.
D as a possible backdoor.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
They needed to get a big target out. That was her shot.
They did. And Hannah, honest to God, thought, because Ozzy told her, you know, Kyland is my target. I want Kyland out. Right? But she was in love with Xavier, so there wasn't any way she was going to put Xavier out. She didn't want to put Big D out. She did want Hannah out because she, quite honestly, Hannah wasn't black enough, if you want to put it. She made several comments throughout the season
about
Hannah
not being black enough. Oh, that's awful.
She didn't come out in those words, basically saying that she had commented that she was only half black.
Oh,
before
you said that, I was getting ready to say, how can you not be black enough?
That's ridiculous.
Well, what she meant was that she's only half black.
No comment.
Well, Kylan was talking, he's also part Latino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like Steve's like, I'm out of this one.
Yeah,
That makes me sad
I never heard that
conversation with Ozzy saying this, but Melissa,
yeah,
that bothers me. To hear this, that bothers me very badly. That's awful.
Not to shoot them, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just saying that this is one of the problems that Ozzy has had with Hannah throughout the whole season.
That stinks. I hate hearing that.
I mean, it's kind of another reason why not to like her. I think I'd vote for her.
I don't like those comments at all. She Ozza always came across as a sweet person to me. She really did. That had a good heart. I didn't like her gameplay. I did not think she was a good game player, but I liked her as a person.
I thought so, too, until that.
Well,
but hearing her saying these kind of remarks, that bothers me. She made a remark, actually, in tonight's show about something to that effect with men. She wanted to have a man with darker skin than her. She did say something to that effect.
Was there an episode on tonight?
There was a show tonight. They had a show last Friday and then this Friday. This one was more a let's remember, you know, where they're sitting around eating their lobster and steak and then they're reminiscing about the whole season.
Teresa, don't worry. Nobody in Whispers watched it either. Or if they did, they only had it on in the background.
I was watching the movie. With Ozza, she's had a crush on Xavier pretty much all season.
Yes.
She did not like Whitney. She wanted Whitney out really bad because Whitney was the one that was always
all over
taking
him.
Taking up Xavier's time. All over Xavier, always laying on Xavier. And Ozza couldn't stand it. She couldn't stand it. She wanted Whitney out bad.
So badly.
Well, on that note.
She never trusted Hannah. She didn't trust Hannah. She didn't get to know Hannah. She didn't really.
That's a shame.
Think of Hannah as part of the cookout. And she had made comments that she was half black. You know? But one of the problems
cool.
I could turn around and say that one of the problems I had with the cookout, and I understand that they wanted black people, but, I mean, you want to talk about people of color or bi POC, like biracial or an indigenous or whatever you call it, being Alyssa was Hispanic, and Derek X was Chinese, Asian. They, quite honestly, should have been included in cookout.
Well, what about Brett?
What about Brett?
I mean, he wasn't black, but he did kind of seem like maybe he was Filipino or...
No.
Brent? No.
No.
Brett was definitely 100. Well, yeah, maybe Italian because of the New York accent, but
now this was a
pure
culture thing. This was strictly black people,
and that's fine,
not Asian,
but...
not Latino. This was strictly African American.
Yeah.
Well, I know this is a little off topic, but kind of on topic at the same time. It's just kind of a reference to what you're talking about. I remember showing a picture of Alyssa to a black person that I worked with at the commissary. And I said, I would like to say she's the prettiest girl in the world, but I'm prejudiced. Somebody actually took it as like, this person actually took it like, oh, is she half black?
No, she was darker skinned, but that was a lot tan too. But she was Hispanic.
I'll be honest with you.
If I didn't
know that Alyssa was Latino, to me she could have just been somebody that got really dark tans. I'm being honest with you. I wouldn't have known.
I met my Alyssa. I was showing her a picture of my Alyssa.
She met her daughter.
Oh. Her granddaughter.
Or granddaughter.
Alyssa's
her
granddaughter.
Forgetting Sarah, Alyssa.
Yeah.
Potato, potato.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she thought that Alyssa looked half black.
No, because I said, I'd like to say she's the prettiest girl in the world, but I'm prejudiced.
Oh.
They were taking her literally.
Oh.
But
yeah.
Somebody had to explain. It's like, well, it's her granddaughter, so she's going to be the prettiest girl in the world no matter what she looks like.
Right.
So I had to learn the correct word was bias.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. I guess the word would be bias.
But speaking of which, Jim, Sarah said she will try to call, but she's been real busy with Alyssa lately.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess I'm hoping that, I don't know. I mean, like, going into the season, I have Xavier, Kylan, and Tiffany as my top three. I think I said Hannah, but I may have said Sarah Beth, because I did like Sarah Beth going in. Hannah kind of grew on me. Sarah Beth got away from me. Kylan, throughout the season, I think I explained that earlier, this week by week, he would lose me a little bit more because I think he lost his mind a little bit more.
He was one of my favorites, too, Melissa Kylan, definitely.
Yeah, he kind of started losing his mind throughout the season.
Right.
Week by week, it got a little bit worse. These last couple of weeks, ever since they got to the final six, he's been crazy and completely lost me.
Yeah.
And I think that he got under a lot of their skin, the cookout skin.
Oh, how could he not?
A lot of them.
Ugh.
A lot of them.
If we couldn't stand watching him on a program, imagine living with that 24/7. That would be hard.
Oh, speaking of which, that was a big reason why I called tonight. It was like, well, last night just proved he was a complete 100% asshole.
Yeah.
If they had an award for the fan's least favorite, he would win it.
Yep.
I mean, just the way
I don't
he
know
went
about
off.
That. He's got plenty of fans.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Yeah. There's still.
Do you think Derek would win it over him, Big D?
There's still a few contenders out there for worst house guest this season.
Who do you think? A Frenchie.
Big D, Frenchie, Brent, for his outward creepiness.
Whitney.
No, Whitney is kind of up there, I think. I think she's safe from consideration because, I mean, she was, you know, she wasn't really on the same sort of level. I think Brittany might be in consideration, though, considering the fact that, well, let's put it this way. When I watched the episode tonight, every single time she was on camera, I had to put the mute button on because It seems like she was specifically cast. She was specifically cast to get reaction shots for the show, and how she over exaggerates shock or excitement or basically something that'll get a reaction shot on television. And
yeah.
I literally almost went. I almost went deaf last night when she was. When she was so shocked in the jury footage.
I was happy
when she was voted out. We can say that.
Well, I will say, given certain circumstances with Brittany, it's kind of tough for me right now to really... hard to explain, but it's just kind of tough for me right now to.
I mean, I understand.
That you've been trying to work this in for the last couple of times.
So we'll just get it out there. Go ahead and tell your story.
Sorry, Melissa. No, don't worry.
No, go ahead.
Alyssa was diagnosed with autism last week.
Yeah.
Sorry, Melissa. Just.
No, I understand, Teresa.
Well,
I understand why
you
feel that way.
I understand too that Brittany is on the autistic the autistic spectrum, but still, it really does seem like she was literally cast just so that because they loved her enthusiasm and they loved her her energy level, keep in mind, Big Brother or shows like Big Brother, they're not just casting people to potentially win money. They're also casting a television show. I guess they were expecting that people would gravitate more towards Brittany instead of being absolutely, hating her all season long. Yeah, turned off. There we go. That's the perfect. That's the perfect phrase.
Yeah, because I don't hate her. I don't hate her at all. She just got on my nerves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. I've ragged on Brittany all season long because of the stupid raps and whatnot. But I don't hate Brittany. I'm just
right.
I'm not that type of person that. When I'm watching a television show, if I'm watching a competition show like Big Brother or Survivor or something, I want to see contestants that are actually playing. I don't want to see random filler bullshit that we, like stuff like tonight that we ended up seeing on the, walk down memory lane thing.
Back in the day when they used to have the Survivor behind the scene episodes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't mind when it's because that's usually planned, that they would have a behind the scenes episode because it would be sweep, it wouldn't be sweeps week. It would be after sweeps week, I think. Survivor would normally have that planned. But Big
and
Brother,
then also,
I mean, they're one of the worst when it comes to planning things out.
And then also, too, with Survivor, that there were times also where that recap episode would be on that Wednesday before Thanksgiving when people would be getting ready to go out of town, getting ready to do whatever.
Yeah, so it wouldn't really matter anyways, basically, if people watched it. Because, if nothing is really happening that night and it's just going to be a recap episode, why not stick it during a time where people are not even going to probably be paying attention, which would be around Thanksgiving, around Christmas, or whatnot.
Yeah.
Because
an
episode like that is basically something that somebody would watch on demand.
Right.
Like, okay,
mm-hmm.
we're still gonna see it. I still want to see it, but it's not something that I need to see right away. Like a regular episode of Survivor. Or a regular episode of Big Brother.
Right.
If it's
mm-hmm.
a filler episode, stuff like that can wait.
Yeah.
So who would be who would be your vote for fan favorite?
Tiffany.
I think or Derek X. I think one of those two will have it locked up. Maybe a side chance for Hannah, but I think it'll be either Derek X Hannah or Tiffany. Or maybe the whole world's going to end and Derek F. will get it instead. Because people won't realize, people won't realize by typing in Derek to 97979, they won't know that they're typing, that they're potentially typing a vote for Derek F. instead of Derek X.
Well, in some alternate universe, that's actually already happened.
What do you mean?
And in that universe, I'm no longer living because my head will have exploded.
It was meant as a joke, Melissa.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I knew that you had been wanting to bring up Alyssa's autism and everything. I've been kind of trying to lead it away from that, only just to protect her. I don't know if that makes any sense.
I think so. And if it hadn't been for the after show where it would just be us talking, I wouldn't have brought it up. You know what I'm trying to say?
Uh-huh.
Because with the after show, it's not getting out there to God and everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still people are listening, but because it does go on the tape. It is taped.
Okay.
It's getting out there. It's getting out there.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. In fact, I was more after the fact that I was kind of like, oh, I hope I didn't offend Melissa by bringing this up on her.
I was being selfish. Teresa, the whole after show does get recorded and added on to the original 2 hours. The only stuff that doesn't get recorded is if, say, we have one of those nights where we go past the 3 hours and, you know, like we've had a couple of times before. The stuff, basically Blog Talk saves up to 3 hours and 13 minutes of recording. After those 13 minutes, so like say for example, say we stayed on the line till about 12:15 tonight, or tomorrow morning, I guess you could say as well. Those extra 2 minutes, like to end the show or whatnot, would not be included on the final product, basically.
Okay, thanks for that. Because
Blog Talk has
cut us off at the 3 hour mark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Usually.
Well, at least the good thing is nobody knows any last name, so that helps.
Yeah.
But that's good to know for future reference.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to take this time too for any Sports Whispers listeners who may tune into this before. Maybe if you listen to this before you listen to the Sports Whispers pod, there will be no Sports Whispers Weekly tomorrow night because, like I said last night, I will be out of town, so I will not be able to do the show. You know, I won't have the equipment to do the soundboard and everything. So, and plus it's really hard to do it on the phone. So, Sports Whispers Weekly will be back next Saturday night, for more sports talk. So just wanted to get that out there once again.
Okay.
Well, I hope you have a good, vacation or whatever it is that you're having, Stephen, that you have safe travels.
Let me just say that just because I may not be doing the podcast tomorrow night, maybe people may want to stay tuned to social media. Just saying.
Okay, now you speak to my
It's possible it could be one of those nights.
He's probably going to a game.
Yeah, I am. And it is possible that it could be one of those nights where I kind of overindulge a little bit, if you want to put it that way. And
gotcha.
And he'll be Steve. And we'll be hearing, this is Steve.
Yes, and maybe I'll be taking pictures of myself blacked out. I don't know. And Kansas,
what game are you going?
Kansas, it has happened before. You can ask Jim next next week. You can ask Jim next week. It has happened before. I have posted before Melissa became a mod and before Laura became a mod. I have posted pictures of myself blacked out while blacked out. And they basically became the group photos for our mods group on Facebook.
Oh, no.
So. Yeah.
Well,
I will say
this, and forgive me if I sound lame, but I consider all three of you my friends.
Oh, I consider you guys my friends, too. I love talking to y'all.
Yep, you're our friend.
And especially with this COVID mess and everything, you know, you guys have been terrific. I love it. I'm addicted to this. And y'all don't yell at me. That makes it nice, too. I know I'm not going to get yelled at by you guys.
Well, I will say in a few weeks on one of the Survivor podcasts, I will be on because I will be in Branson.
Oh, how fun. I've always wanted to go to Branson.
Yeah, the school has Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off for parent-teacher conferences. And since I'm a para, I don't have to be there. So I have 5 days off, and it's only 4 hours from where we're at. So my husband said we're going to go to Branson.
How cool.
I mean, we've been before, but go ahead, Steve.
Shit, never mind. I was about to say something, but I completely lost my train of thought.
Been there, done that.
I guess I'm starting early, I guess you could say.
In other words, you had a brain fart.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Oh,
never mind me. Continue on.
It happens. And the older you get, the worse it gets.
It really got bad for me during this COVID. Last year, it really started getting bad. I don't know if it was depression or whatever, but seriously, there's been a lot of changes in me since last year.
Uh-huh.
Well, I will have to say I was kind of feeling depressed yet last night, so I was kind of glad I called. And then when I hung up for 30 minutes, a friend of mine actually called to check on me, so.
Oh, that's good.
Good. Yeah,
but we're
going to
celebrate next Friday during the podcast.
Hopefully we will be celebrating.
Next Friday's my birthday, so.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
We'll definitely
Happy
celebrate.
Birthday.
I'll make sure I have a drink in me on Friday so I can be silly.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Oh, because my lanyard for my ID, for my badge at school, it's the St. Louis Cardinals. We got to talking today about that and stuff, and I was like, yeah, 2016 was the worst year, and to top it off for me on some personal levels, but to top it off was Trump becoming president and the Cubs winning the World Series.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, the last part was a joke, but.
Mhm. Yeah. Okay. So.
But who thought?
Here's a topic of conversation that I can tell you guys that has been really getting to me. This storyline that it's all over the news, the Gabby Petito story.
Oh my God.
Other topics. I want to tell you, this whole story has really messed me up so badly.
Have they found him yet?
No.
Nope. He's
his parents. I mean,
when,
it just makes
thought,
me so mad, this whole thing. This little girl was such a beautiful young girl, and just to have her life snuffed out like that, and the whole thing where it's so obvious that the parents
just when,
covered for him, and ugh.
Just when they thought they had a trace on him, but it turned out to be something different, because they thought that they had video of him on one of those deer cameras that for some reason people in Florida have deer cameras that keep an eye on if deer come into their yards or something. And supposedly the outline of the guy showed up on the camera, and I guess it was proven to not be him, apparently. So,
do you think he's alive still, you guys, or do you think he might end up, if he didn't already, just finally off himself? What do you think?
I don't know. I think his parents know where he's at.
It's obvious his parents definitely know where he's at, especially considering when he returned after he supposedly had killed Gabby, was her name?
Yeah.
After he had supposedly killed Gabby, when he had returned, his parents were last seen with him leaving their house in the in either the RV, or they were in a different vehicle with him in it.
Because there was the talk, Steve, that they didn't even know, because John Walsh was talking about it recently, and Nancy Grace also, where they were saying that nobody even saw him, and who knows if he even came home. So you're sure
somebody did see him home?
No,
he did. They mentioned on it was mentioned on Twitter that he, or maybe it was TMZ, I forget which, that he did come home after the
he was spotted by other people besides the family.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he was
okay,
spotted.
That's
he
good
was
to
spotted.
Know.
He was spotted by neighbors with his parents.
Because John Walsh was saying how nobody spotted him at all. And he wonders if he even ever came home.
Well, there's been multiple accounts.
At least that's good to know that
there's
he was spotted then.
There's been multiple accounts that have different
things. I know, it's crazy. It's like you hear so many different stories. But the bottom line is it's obvious to what actually, you know, was going down. Even with the parents, you know, where they're saying, why did they wait 3 days? If he left Tuesday, why did they wait till Friday to contact the authorities? Gee, I wonder why.
You know, the way I look at it is the longer that this goes on, the colder that the trail is going to get. So,
I know. Yep.
You know, he's pretty much, if he is still alive, the fact that they haven't been able to track him yet, he's number one off the grid, more than likely.
Yeah.
But number two, you know, he probably had everything set. Like, because keep in mind, he was researching a whole bunch of disturbing things. But I had read that he was reading a whole bunch of books on, like, something having to do with murder while also avoiding the authorities or something like that. I forget the exact context of the book that he was reading. But as a matter of fact, he was reading the book on one of their in one of the social media photos that they had posted during their trip.
Wow.
Mm.
So
well,
he had
you
been
know,
planning
and I have
for
to
a
say
while.
That this brings up a story that happened a few years ago here in Colorado. My daughter was living with her boyfriend in Berthoud, Colorado, and she lived across the street from this guy, and she said he was kind of a strange guy. Well, come to find out, he had this girlfriend, and one day he took his girlfriend or met his girlfriend at a lake, at a local lake, a nearby lake, and he shot and killed her.
Oh,
he
my
shot
God.
And killed her, and then he took off to Fruta Monument, or, yeah, to Fruta in near Grand Junction, if you've ever heard of Grand Junction, Colorado. It's near there. And he had her wrapped up in a rug,
oh.
and he was going to bury him. He was going to bury her on his grandparents' land.
Ugh.
But he got caught.
Thank God.
And he's in jail. He's gone to prison, but it's
and he was
it
right by your daughter.
Me.
That's scary.
Yeah, well, my daughter actually has talked to him before, you know.
Oh,
and
that
and it come to find out, she wanted to break up with him. She wanted to break up with him, and he wasn't having any of it. So.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I think that might have been the situation with this one too, with Gabby, because
uh-huh.
they did call off their engagement.
Yeah, and before they left.
Yep.
And why she decided, if they called off their engagement before they left, why did she even go with him? That's the thing that I'm like, I just don't get it.
And she was living at his parents' house, too.
Ugh.
They were both living there at his parents' home before.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't understand. I mean, she had to have gotten some kind of clue that he was not right.
Well, they're saying that one message that she left, because they were saying, did he send it? Did she send it? The whole Stan thing, because the Stan stands for something. The STAN, I forget the exact phrasing.
Yeah, it's her grand.
It's
no,
used,
no, it's
you
her,
know,
it's her grandfather's name. It's her grand, or it was her grandfather's name.
But they're saying that might not have been. But she never called him Stan, because that's what
oh.
made the parents think maybe he sent it. That she never called her, she never referred to her grandfather as Stan. So the parents were thinking that he sent that message. But then people are saying Stan is also an alert. It stands for something, the STAN, I forget exactly what it was, but it's like an alert where people have sent that to alert people that they were in trouble.
Now, in the social media world, Stan would be like a psychophan, you know? Right, Steve?
Yeah,
they call him
I mean, Eminem wrote, Eminem did a whole song about it, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what a Stan is. but
because it was an alert, they were pointing out the letters and saying that it's used as an alert that something's wrong, that someone's in trouble.
Yeah,
and they're thinking that she might have done that to alert her parents, because shortly after that, her phone was taken from her.
Not just that, but they said that there were signs that her phone was completely deactivated or something like that.
Well, he did that. He took it away from her. And
no,
then the other awful thing, that
not
was
just...
her stinking van. He's trying to push her out of her own van.
No, it's not just it being taken away, though. I mean, I'm talking about it like actually being deactivated, to where even if she got it back, she still wouldn't be able to use it.
Well, that he didn't want her to use it. That's why he took the phone away from her. He was trying, because people saw this. There's been a lot of people that have seen things. They saw her being slapped. They saw fighting over a phone and her trying to crawl back into her own van. He was trying to take her phone, push her out of her own van, and leave her there. He didn't want her to be able to contact authorities. He wanted her stranded. That's what he was trying to do to her. And that was when the cops found them, because they have all that footage. And she was covering for him. You could see she was freaked out. But people saw that before this happened and said, we see this guy slapping this girl.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Was he threatening her family? What was he doing that was getting her to comply like that?
We don't
know.
We have no idea exactly. Something happened that she freaked out. She was afraid of him. But the worst part was, and the family, you know, her father talked about this. She was a tiny girl, and she would not have felt safe being alone. She did not want to be alone. She wasn't a big hiker like he was. She went along with him with this journey. He was the hiker of the two of them. She wasn't. She did this with him. But the fact that he was trying to take her phone and leave her stranded there without her van, that would be pretty scary, too.
He was trying to imagine.
In the middle of nowhere to take her phone and leave her stranded? That's horrible.
Yeah, and I think about this, and I pray to God that if my daughter were to ever get in that kind of situation, that she wouldn't cover for him, you know, cover
yes,
for the
exactly.
cycle that's treating her that way.
Right.
I mean, I've raised her to say, nobody deserves that. You don't put up with that, you know?
Well, John Walsh was furious at the cops that pulled them over because they were making it more look like it was her, because he was acting all calm, cool, and collected, whatever. And the thing is, John Walsh was saying, all you had to do was look at her and look at her demeanor, you could see something was really wrong with her. There was a lot of screw-ups.
Something that could have been prevented.
Yeah, exactly. She should have been taken away from him, period. Not just separated. Taken away from him. But I wish when she would have been in the van, because when they separated them, he stayed at a hotel. She was in her van. I wish to hell she just would have gotten the hell out of there, just drove away and left him there. But I believe she was afraid of him.
I mean, you could tell that
from the
picture of her crying.
But even if she, I mean, that would be the biggest thing, is that he scares the crap out of me. I can't be with him. I need to get away from him.
Right.
You would think that she would be doing everything in her power to try and get away from him, but she wasn't. She stayed with him.
What threats did he might have said to her to keep her from doing that?
Exactly. I'm going to kill your parents. I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to kill you. Exactly. I will hunt you down. I definitely believe she feared for her life with him. and it happened.
Yep.
It's a horrible story. The only one of his family that seemed to care at all about her was his sister. That's it. His parents didn't give a shit. All they care about is they're being bothered because the community's at their door hounding them. Well, you know what?
Aww.
Good for the community. Good for the neighbors. I hope they're there every day and night bothering those parents, saying, where is she? Where is she? Speak up. I'm serious. Your son's a murderer. Speak up. And your accomplices. I hope they're there every damn day making those two lives miserable. They're horrible people, the parents. Seriously. Isn't that terrible? They're being hounded by the community. That's their complaint.
Let me play my violin for them.
Yeah. I mean, the parents, her parents were trying, you know, to get some kind of information, and they're not calling them back. And that attorney also, he's also a big liar covering like that for this creepy kid.
Yeah.
Their lawyer's also a piece of shit. There's so much of this case just makes me so, it makes me so mad, you guys. There's so much.
Just give me 5 minutes with this guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
I'm just waiting to hear how she died because they're doing the whole autopsy thing. They did say homicide, so...
Yeah, Teresa, I wouldn't want to be alone with him for 5 minutes unless I had a really big gun.
at least he's finally, you know, being convicted of something. You know, he was basically, you know, proven innocent until proven guilty, you know, all this bullshit when everybody knows that he's guilty. But now he's guilty mm-hmm. of stealing money from her because he was using her credit card. And he stole like over $1,000 and was buying stuff after she disappeared. So now he's convicted of that. So now he's
mm-hmm.
a wanted criminal because of that.
Yep. Boy.
People, I'm so
it's
blessed
just
that.
Can you imagine that being your child? Honestly, it's so terrible.
I'll tell you what, that wouldn't be, wait a minute, hold on. Would that, you mean that being Gabby or that being the guy who killed her?
Gabby? I could care less about that Brian. Oh, please. He can die in rotten hell for all I care. Can you imagine being Gabby's parents? And, you know, her dad was so young when he had her. He said that she helped change his life. He was 20 years old when they had her. And he said he was a mess, and she changed his life around. He became a good person when they had her.
Believe
me, I could care less about Brian and his parents. They can all rot in hell as far as I'm concerned.
I have to say on both sides that, one, if that was my son that was doing that, I'd be like, no. Well, one, I wouldn't have a son that would do that because I'd have a son that would learn the value of treating a woman like a human being.
And it's also just a matter of right from wrong. And if you're a decent kind of person, you say, son, I love you dearly. I will stand by you. But you have to face the consequences. What you did was wrong. And
to that I would have to say, it happens in the best of families. It happens in the best of families. You could be the best parent, but if your son has mental issues,
right,
then they're going
to
have mental issues. I mean, sometimes it can be, it can be the fault of the parents, but sometimes it's not.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But I can tell you that if he confessed to me, if my son had said, yeah, I I killed somebody or I killed this girl, I would have been calling the cops myself.
Right.
Yeah,
I would too, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I wouldn't have tried to get him out of the country or,
It's just so shitty. It's terrible. They were waiting. That's this whole thing, you know. They were killing time. And the leads that they gave the cops, oh, he's in this, because that's the other thing. He's not there. He's somewhere else. Where they're saying he went is bullshit. They're leading the cops on a wild goose chase. He's not there. He's somewhere else.
Yeah. Trying to give him the opportunity to get as far out of town
as
you can get.
They were saying he could be in Mexico. Who knows?
Yep.
He stole $1,000 from her. Who knows how much money they gave him?
Yeah. I mean, who's to say that when they... The last time
they should
saw
be in jail,
in,
too. Let's be real. They should be in jail, too. They're accomplices.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Even if it's accomplices.
They should be able to tell. They should be able to tell if they took any kind of significant amount of money out of the bank at one time. That would be a pretty good tell that they were giving him money to get away. I don't know if they looked into that. If the parents had pulled money out of account.
Or if they
account.
Had money already in the house.
Yeah.
They got money from somewhere where it's not seen.
Hard telling.
They set their kid up to be able to fly is exactly what happened. They're all disgusting. So, yes, Teresa, I could care 10 shits about what happens to any of them. They're horrible people.
I will
people.
Say this. If there's any justice, once he's put in prison, somebody will take care of it for him.
And that's the question, too, is the idiot still alive?
No, not necessarily. Somebody won't necessarily take care of it because it's not like he was doing this to somebody of a young age. I mean, I shouldn't say that.
A child,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, he did this to. This would be just like if he had murdered somebody else. You know, Because you know, they have certain limits, you know. If anything, he would probably fit in with the general
with the
population.
There. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that being said, this case, There have been some references to Chris Watts and...
Yeah, Chris Watts. If anyone would have been killed for doing horrible things to children, it would have been Chris Watts killing his wife and
his
two little
babies. That happened just down, I mean, maybe 10 miles from me.
Oh,
Chris
no,
Watts,
really?
They lived in... They lived in
wow,
Frederick,
Melissa.
Which
gee.
Is yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, they lived in Frederick, which is just right down the highway from us.
That's crazy.
And then
when crap like that happens, when you're this close, you know.
Oh.
And Scott Peterson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am honestly surprised. One, that they're reversing the death row penalty, and two,
I know
if somebody hasn't tried to already kill him in prison.
Chris Watts especially.
Mm.
because what he did was just disgusting.
Like,
I hear he has girlfriends, you know, that write to him, you know, behind the bars. It's just, are you kidding me? These dumb women. What's wrong with these stupid, crazy, sick-ass women that want relationships with these nutty men?
They've got mental problems of their own.
No kidding. It's just bizarre.
You know, I have a friend. Oh, brother. Okay. I'm not going to go there.
Well, the worst was just
had,
the other
not
day.
Not that they
had
any kind of romantic. They didn't really have a romantic interest in these people, but they were curious. Who were the two brothers that killed their parents? They were
years ago in the 80s?
Yeah.
What were their names again?
Menendez.
I just saw that story not that long ago.
Menendez.
The Menendez brothers, yes.
Yeah.
Kyle and Lyle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
well, they're married also.
The
they
two,
have wives. They
you,
got married
you mean
behind
the two
bars.
Who were... You mean the two who were I forget which basketball card they're on, but you can actually see them sitting courtside at a New York Knicks game in a certain basketball card.
Oh my gosh! I think I heard about that. That is definitely some foobar stuff.
Well, there was literally some girl that was on, I think it was either Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil, that was saying that she got to know Chris Watts, and she truly believes, and she's friendly with his mother. His mom was another whack job.
It wasn't Dr. Phil, it was Dr. Oz.
Was it Dr. Oz? And this girl was saying that she believes Chris Watts is innocent, if you can believe this.
No, brother.
Chris Watts is innocent of this. He didn't do it.
Well,
okay.
Even though that he admitted he did, so.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know.
No,
he could have been
innocent.
Coerced to say that.
Crazy.
It's nuts.
It just makes me blessed to have the husband I have.
Me too.
Yeah, me three.
Me four. Wait, what?
Hey, be glad you don't have a wacky, crazy wife. There's some of those out there, too. Not as many as the men, but there are some crazy women out there,
speaking
too.
Speaking of some crazy shit, I saw something on the news thing about this couple who went to a restaurant in Texas and got kicked out because they were wearing a mask.
Oh, I heard that, yes. Can you believe that?
Also known as another day in my city.
It's ugly. It's so ugly out there.
They got kicked out because they were wearing a mask?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was an establishment where they're against it.
Oh, brother. See, I have a friend.
Hey, it's crazy.
If it was a private establishment, they can still get legally, they can kick people out if it's a private establishment.
Can you believe that?
That's part of the
brother.
Rules.
It's insane.
That's part of the rules.
Totally insane.
Well, I had a friend, gosh, I think my daughter was a year old when she died, and she had died of cancer, but we were still all in contact with her kids for up until a certain time. But I do know that one of my friends is still friends with her daughter, and she texted me the other night and said, Gerald's dead. And I'm like, well, what happened? Well, he didn't get the vaccine, and he died of COVID. And it's really sad. I mean, something that could have been prevented. You know?
Yeah.
And you see all these people who say, I should, they're in the hospitals with COVID, they're going on a ventilator or whatever, I should have got the vaccine, I should have got the vaccine, time and time again. But there's so many people that have this, it'll never happen to me, okay? It'll never happen to me. It hasn't happened yet, so it'll never happen to me. Well, until it happens, right?
And how many of these crazies get COVID and they still refuse to get a vaccine?
I know.
Or they refuse to admit that they even have COVID. Up to their dying breath, they still won't admit that they have it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, but it's almost time to go, guys. So I just wanted to take a minute. I think we got cut off last week. So I just wanted to take a minute and say thanks for calling in. And I hope you have a good weekend and good week. And we will be back next week for the finale of both the Big Brother and the podcast. And then we'll
thank you guys for the show. And everybody have a wonderful week. Have fun and stay safe, you both of you, Teresa and Steve, on your little vacays. Stay safe.
Uh-huh.
And
have a
we'll
good time.
Talk to you probably Thursday.
Yeah, we'll talk on Thursday for the Survivor podcast.
Looking forward to that.
Featuring Jim Early. And so, there we go. We have a couple of minutes.
And we appreciate all that you do, Melissa and Steve.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for these wonderful shows. I enjoy them so much.